Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. So what is your go-to excuse? I know yours, but say it again. My dog ate it. Don't be afraid.
I'm too busy.
Yeah? I'm too old. I'm going to start using that one. Other excuses that you know that you have? Okay, the shredder machine ate your cat. I'm not sure what that means, but yes. It's not my field. I like that one. Yes. I don't have the right tools, says the man who owns every tool in the world. Right? Actually, I use that same excuse. I say, honey, I don't have a tool. I have to go buy one. Yeah, you and I are on the same wavelength. Yes. My child is helpless and we must stay home. Okay. Yeah, that's actually one I can't use anymore. But I love that one. That's a good one. Yes, Marie. I have to go home and walk the dog. Yes. I really need to check with my husband. You don't want to check your husband? Oh. No, I like, yeah, Paul's like, because I don't want to. That's totally honest, yeah. Yeah, we all have excuses that we kind of go to. You know, and as I said with the kids, for Jeremiah, that excuse was, I'm too young. And the Bible is full of excuses. Moses stands before God, and God says to Moses, look, I choose you. I want you to go out and lead my people. And what does Moses say? I am slow of tongue, you know, and fairly stupid. I'm not going to do it. And God, without missing a beat, says, don't worry, your brother's fine, and he'll talk with you. And so when they're looking for the new king, and the prophet goes out and tries to check all of the children to see who's going to be the next king. Well, are there any more around? Well, there's just David, but he's the youngest, but he's kind of short and ruddy. Shoots. Over and over again. Even Paul. You know, when God tries to choose Paul, who's now been persecuting everyone forever, you know, Paul's like, do you remember who I am? I'm the one who, like, persecuted everybody? And God says, yeah, I choose you. Scripture is full of excuses. For Jeremiah, God says, look, do not say to me that you are but a boy, for I chose you from the womb to be my messenger. There's nothing all that great about Jeremiah. Jeremiah is the same kind of broken, incomplete, hesitant kind of person that all of us are, and yet God chooses him. Our gospel lesson is about a kind of choosing. If you weren't here last week or you don't remember the gospel from last week, which this one leads into, it's when Jesus goes to Galilee and he's teaching in the synagogues and they hand the scroll to Jesus and he opens it up to the place in Isaiah and incorrectly quotes, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor and recovery to the, proclaim the release of the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, let the oppressed go free to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he sits down and he says, today, scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. I have been chosen. And it first, when people hear it, they speak well of him. Isn't he amazing, this Jesus? Do you remember when he was just 12 years old? He did this once before. He's just absolutely fascinating. And then depending on how your ears work, they either say, wow, isn't that Joseph's son? He is awesome. He's great. Or what I hear, isn't that Joseph's kid? You know, the carpenter's boy? That one that used to be underfoot all the time? He's the one who's been chosen? And suddenly, the crowd turns on him. One minute, he is a star. And in the next moment, it says they were filled with rage. Filled with rage. And they sought to take him out. Well, why are they filled with rage? Well, Jesus, just like Jeremiah, is called on to speak the truth. And so in our text, he says to them, yeah, great that you all think this is wonderful, but the truth is, and anytime Jesus says the truth is, you should pay attention. The truth is that in the time of Elijah, there were many widows in Israel, but God did not send Elijah to any of them. Do you remember why Elijah was running for his life? Elijah was out there telling the Israelites that they were just all not following God. They were worshiping other gods. They had started following the Baals, the Baals. And they had started listening to Jezebel's priests, the queen Jezebel. And the priests were up there doing smoke and everything. And all the Israelites were like, that's cool. That's really cool. And Elisha got tired of it. And so what did Elisha do? Write them a stern letter? File a complaint? He killed them all. He killed them. Put them to the sword. Now, not surprisingly, Queen Jezebel is somewhat annoyed. Her priests have been killed. And so what does she do? She orders her armies to pursue Elijah and put him to death. So Elijah runs. And Jesus says to the people, and where did he run to? Did he run to any of you? To any of the people? Any of the widows who were in Israel? No. He ran to the widow of Zarephath in Sidon. Guess what Sidon is best known for? It's the hometown of Jezebel. He flees to the belly of the beast, to the hometown of the queen who wants to do him in. I don't think it's an accident. And there he finds a widow who saves his life. Now, if you're the people sitting in the synagogue listening to Jesus tell this story, they know what he means. They know what he means. And then he says, and again, there were many lepers that were in Israel in the time, but to whom did God send, who did Elisha heal? Was it any of the worthy Jews who were in Jerusalem and around, or any of our own people? No. You know who it was? Naaman. Which would have been like vinegar on their tongues. Naaman, the Syrian. Their mortal enemy. Goes to Elisha, knocks on the door. Hey, can I get healed? Elisha says, go away. Can I get healed? Go away. Finally, he says, look, I'm not going to come out. Why would I come out? Just go wash in the river Jordan 3 times and you will be healed. And guess what happens? The enemy is healed. So the people are around Jesus. And they're hearing these stories about how God has given aid and comfort and Jesus is lifting up the virtues of their enemies, and suddenly, isn't that Joseph's son? Became, get Joseph's son! And they seek to kill him. It says in our scripture that they tried to get him and they wanted to drag him up to the brow of the hill and throw him to his death. I love the New Testament. It's not near as sweet as we think it is. And Jesus, it says, passes in the midst of them. And you'll find out next week, he goes to Capernaum. The very place that they said, hey, do miracles like you did in Capernaum. What I find fascinating about this story is, and where it connects particularly to Jeremiah, is guess who the people are that God will choose to carry out the ministry of Jesus. Guess who it is? The very people who try to throw Jesus off the hill. God's people. That's who God will choose. God does not send in the armies to destroy them. God does not push them out of the way. In fact, what happens over the course of the rest of Jesus' ministry is they will see him heal and teach and love and care and transform. And they themselves will become God's people again. In their brokenness, in their doubt, in their anger, in their hurt, in their insufficiency, in their being too young and too old, too tired and having too much homework all the time, God chooses you. You. Our excuses in the end are nothing. The excuses of Moses and of Jeremiah, of Elisha and of David, our excuses for why we cannot hear the call of God fall by the wayside. Because Jesus will choose you and me, and remember Paul, who writes all of this beautiful stuff about love and all these great things. Do you remember what Paul's job was? Killing the followers of Jesus. And I can imagine on that road of Damascus, God saying, look, I choose you. And Paul saying, do you remember who I am? I'm the dude that's been killing your followers. And God says, I don't care. I choose you. At the core of our faith and our hope and our joy is that for all of our brokenness and hurt and busyness, God calls us to be the voice of love in a broken world, to bring that hope where there is hopelessness, to go to people who everyone thinks do not deserve to hear the word of God or to know God's love. God calls you and me. So let us put aside our excuses, that we might, in fact, come to know God and to be sent out again and again and again in Christ. Amen.